This is a test. This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. This is only a test. Then you know what comes next, right? That kind of loud beep or siren sound that goes. Do they still do those tests? Seems like as a kid I would hear that all the time on TV or radio, but not so much anymore. But I think they still do, right? So this is done in that spirit. This is a test. This is a test of the emergency Reformed theological orthodoxy system. This is only a test. In the event of an actual Reformed emergency, the ushers will distribute copies of the Heidelberg Catechism for immediate instruction for the congregation. But at this point, it's only a test. We're going to decide if it's an actual emergency. The test has to do with the lesson from the Gospel of Luke. And the test is whether or not your emergency Reformed theological emergency system went off or not. Which I suppose means that you have such a system at all, or even more, that you care to have such a system. But I think I do have some sort of emergency Reformed theological orthodoxy system. Some might disagree that I do, but as a Reformed church minister, it seems appropriate that there be something like that in me. And so with this system in place, I read the lesson from Luke. A lawyer has a test for Jesus. Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Aha, my Reformed antenna picks up something. What must I do to get eternal life? What must I do? There's danger going on here. Good things he asked Jesus, because Jesus can set him straight. So Jesus answers with a question. Well, what does the law say you should do? The lawyer says what you should do is love God completely and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says, good answer, do that and you will live. The lawyer says, well, but who should I do this to? So Jesus tells a story of what a man does to help someone. And Jesus tells the lawyer to go and do likewise and he will have life. Aren't your alarm bells going off wildly like mine? What will you do? That's not the way it's supposed to go at all. We need to back up here for a moment, back to that question from the lawyer, and think of what Jesus should have said, a good Reformed Jesus. Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, I picture Jesus saying, ah, my friend, there is nothing you can do to gain eternal life. Nothing you can do to earn it. It is a gift from God, a grace to be received. Apparently that's the voice the Reformed Jesus speaks in. I'm not sure. Then the lawyer would say, ah, now I see, Jesus. It is by grace that I am saved through faith, not my good works. That's it, says Jesus. And maybe instead of that Samaritan story, Jesus could tell some story about a person who helped free his neighbors from the burden of the law through the gift of grace. And everyone would nod contentedly. Yes, it's not about what I do. It's God's grace. Now that would be a good story from Luke. That would be a good Reformed Jesus. Because you see, in the Reformed tradition, we know it's not about what we do. It's about God's grace. And if we don't watch out, Jesus here could make things a lot more difficult for that Reformed view. Because there's a lot of Reformed folks around here that, for all that talk about grace, are really quite convinced it's not about grace at all. It's actually about points. It's about points based on what you do. That's what gets you in good with God. I know there are people around here like that because I'm one of them. I can talk a good line about grace, but that point system is always lurking there, very appealing. And this story could push you toward points if we're not careful, which is why you have to have an emergency system in place for Reformed theology, which is why it would have been better if Jesus had given a good Reformed answer. But Jesus didn't. So this is the story we're stuck with. And since another part of Reformed theology is to take Scripture seriously, then this is the story we have to deal with. The lawyer and Jesus. The story of the traveler and the thieves, the priest and the Levite and the Samaritan. I've heard this story many, many, many times. And the story itself has become this cultural icon, this idea, right? The Good Samaritan. Everyone knows what that is in our culture. But I realize that for me, hearing this story so many times, I've learned almost automatically how to hear it. I just hear it in a certain way. I've learned to hear this story as being about me, with the issue being, who will I be like in this story? The priest, or the Levite, or the Samaritan? For those keeping track, the correct answer is C, the Samaritan. That's who we're supposed to be. That's how you hear the story. But there could be other ways to listen to this story. Jesus' stories are never just about one thing, so I'd like to try to have us listen to this story differently. To try listening to it as a story, first and foremost, about God. What if we wonder where God is in this story? So let's wonder about God as a priest or a Levite. It's a realistic image one could have for God. God as one concerned with religion and rules, concerned with doing things the right way. God as a religious institution, promoting religious requirements. God there for people to come to, but insulated from the ugliness of the world. This is a God that would require people to do a lot of things. And I think that people of such a God would go and do likewise by creating a life of religious rules and keeping track of points. And that could work pretty well, a pretty clear system to enforce. But I also wonder about God as a Samaritan. I wonder about God being so completely different than what I expect God to be. God so different than who I or others might make God to be. A God not concerned with religion and rules, with do and don'ts, but a God concerned with what is hurt and broken and in need in this world. A God not fitting any of the expectations or requirements of religion, but simply a God who shows mercy. A God of mercy and compassion to the broken. Now, when I listen to the story in that way, seeing an image of God in the Samaritan, what's so interesting is that that then invites me to find a new place for myself in this story. I start to see myself in the traveler. I start to see myself as the one who has had mercy shown to me in my brokenness, one who has received compassion and healing. I find that the story starts to sound like a gift, like grace. It sounds like each day of life could be described as mercy, mercy, mercy. Mercy from a God present in the brokenness of life. My story, my reality, is God's mercy. And if from this story we hold that image of God and self, of Samaritan and traveler, well, then what does that say to my emergency reformed theological system? Because for all my exaggeration that you hopefully picked up in my initial protests about the threat this story poses to reformed theology with its emphasis on what must I do, my genuine concern is what sort of impact this story would have on those who hear it. Because the real ending of this story will be found in the lawyer, right? The lawyer who in the end is told by Jesus to go and do likewise. What matters is how this story from Jesus actually plays out in his life. And if this is just a story about a good example, would that move the lawyer to go and do likewise? Even a story with a very unlikely good example, the shock of a good Samaritan, will that do the trick and have this lawyer go and do the same? I'm not so sure. Don't you think that lawyer had good examples before in his life? Maybe not as dramatic as this, but there were some good priests and Levites around. There are always plenty of good examples then and now. But good examples, good friends, good Samaritans, good enemies, is that what the lawyer needs to go and do likewise? I'm not so sure. And that's why finding an image of God in this story is so important. Not just a good example, but the very heart of our God as a God of mercy and compassion. Because when life is received each day from such a God, when I hold on to and am held by that, then I think, I feel, I believe that mercy creates and shapes my life. Then I will, can, go and do and be likewise. Such a God offers more than just a good example. Because it may be then that we also find God not only in the Samaritan, but also in that broken traveler too. Jesus Christ, in God's mercy, made flesh, receives the violence and brokenness of this world, embraces it. And if I see my life connected to such a God of mercy present in brokenness, then I can go and do, be likewise. God's mercy is our reality, our story. A life centered not in fulfilling religious obligation, but a life sustained by God's mercy. It's how Jesus is calling this lawyer to see God and self and others. Calling us to do. In a very little corner in God's kingdom, called the Reformed Church in America, there is actually something of a Reformed emergency going on these days. Debates in our denomination that seem to get at the identity of what being a Reformed church is about. And it seems important to remember both how small this little debate is in the corner of God's world, so much more happening in God's world, so many real lives and real events that we need to keep in perspective. And yet also to realize there's something at stake in this little corner that God has placed us in. Some things at stake like this. Will we say that being reformed is about setting rules about who belongs or not and making ever more intricate systems of points to see who qualifies? Will we say that this reflects the God we serve in Jesus Christ? Or will we say that being reformed means this: mercy, 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 grace, grace, grace. Say that reformed means that we have been found by a God of mercy who does not leave us alone in our brokenness, but reaches out with healing. And that such a God of mercy calls and empowers us to do and be the same. To be a people of mercy and grace, of healing in this broken world that God loves so much. This is a moment in our little corner as a Reformed church to decide what our story is, because that will determine who we are and what we do as people of God. Which is why this is a test of the emergency Reformed theological orthodoxy system, but the test is not for Jesus. Jesus is not concerned at all whether I think he is a good Reformed theologian or not. The test is for us as followers of Jesus Christ, reformed or otherwise, to recognize God in our lives by recognizing our lives as stories of God's mercy. Jesus' story tells us what to do. Do receive God's mercy. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Let the love of this God of mercy live and grow in you each day. And then the ending, which is the continuing of this story, will be this: go and do likewise. Live in gratitude as witnesses to God's mercy and grace, which is actually very reformed. Thanks be to God. Amen.